Welcome back to The Garden with Joey and Holly Radio Show. Thank you for being part of the program today. Lisa Eldhart Steinhoff will be with us moments away, but first, Rise Garden with the technology to help you grow indoors all year long.
Rise Gardens is a revolutionary hydroponic gardening system for your home. Instead of food traveling hundreds or even over 1,000 miles before it hits your plate, harvest veggies, herbs, and greens you need for dinner tonight in the comfort of your own home. No green thumb required. Gardening made easy with Rise Gardens app, step-by-step guidance from seed to harvest, a complete garden on a shelf, and comes with everything you need to grow healthy with the freshest food for you and your loved ones. Fully customize your garden to your needs and preferences. Find out more information to get your Rise Garden. Visit risegardens.com.
Well, Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Lisa Eldred Steinkoff, she is the houseplant guru, is an author, blogger, freelance writer, and houseplant enthusiast. She loves taking care of her own plants and teaching others to take care of theirs. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners.
Thank you.
And I'll start with this one. We often think about fertilizing our soil outside, pruning, caring for our plants outdoors. How can we apply all of that outdoor? How can we apply that outdoor for indoor plants? Do we need to fertilize them, maintain them, kind of in the same manner?
I think so. I definitely think you need to fertilize them. I tell people I am not the most consistent person when it comes to fertilizing, as I should be. But you know, I never use full strength fertilizer, but I do. You can either use a quarter strength of whatever fertilizer you're using every time you water so that it's consistent, because I forget, or almost full strength every fourth watering. So that's why people say about once a month fertilize. And I only fertilize when they're actively growing.
Okay. So do you recommend a liquid fertilizer, whether that is a commercial or homemade version, rather than a granule?
I use the kind, you know, that makes the water blue.
Okay.
But, you know, I say anything you use that, you know, is labeled for houseplants is fine. And as far as like pruning and, you know, caring for your plants indoors, I think that pruning is I went to a friend's house the other day and we have the same kind of crown of thorn and it's thornless, but hers is like really bushy and beautiful and full. And mine is just like one long, extensive, you know, branch. And it's like, I should have pruned it so that it stays bushy and looks more aesthetically pleasing than this big, long one thing, you know, coming out instead of being a nice pruned shrub, like shrub, you know what I mean?
Right, because pruning will stimulate additional growth, is what you're saying.
Of course. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so if something's getting out of control or it's not even or you don't like it, it's okay to trim it. And then you can, you know, if it's, you can start a new plant.
What is the guidelines for trimming? Quarter, half the size?
I wouldn't, unless I was root pruning it, I wouldn't do more than a quarter. Yeah, I wouldn't do more than a quarter.
Okay.
So, yeah, because, you know, it needs enough, needs, you know, we don't want to, yes. I wouldn't do more than that.
Just like a haircut.
Probably just a haircut.
Yeah, just like a haircut. Yeah. You can always take a little bit off, but if you take too much off, that's an oops, you can't undo.
Right, and it's really better to keep, you know, it's better to trim it a little, you know, from the beginning to try to keep that shape instead of getting it completely out of shape and then trying to cut the heck out of it and then, you know, try to get it back into shape and then it just looks like you've butchered your plant.
Right.
Yeah. It takes a little longer to recover.
Fantastic. So your most recent book, Bloom, The Secrets of Growing Flowering Houseplants Year-Round, tell us a tip or something unique that will encourage our listeners to pick up a copy.
Well, I think that, this book, I love it because there really wasn't anything out there about flowering houseplants. And I think they're often overlooked because people think they're hard to grow. And they're really not. It's just a lot of times they need maybe a little more light than a foliage houseplant. And not always. It just depends on the plant. But I tell people when I do my talk that goes along with the book, I think that you can have a houseplant in bloom every day of the year in your home. And I talked to them about, and not in the book, but there's four houseplants I think that if you have in your house, you will then have something in bloom every day of the year, but just with those four houseplants. But when you look through the book, you know, you're going to find out that some of them bloom, like a Phalaenopsis orchid can bloom for a year anyway, at least many months if you take good care of it.
I'll be. And then whenever you say blooming houseplant, I think of orchids. Is that in the same realm?
Well, yeah, like the Phalaenopsis orchid is the moth orchid. Yeah, right. But I talk about other orchids in there. There's, you know, other orchids that are easy to grow. Jewel orchids are really easy, and they're terrestrial compared to epiphytic orchids. You know, you grow them in a soil kind of like a normal, when I say normal houseplant, I don't know if that's probably not the best word, but like a regular houseplant, instead of, you know, growing it in bark or on a piece of, you know, like on a piece of cork or something mounted, you know, you just grow them in potting mix.
Because,
so, you know, orchids, African violets, I think are having a big comeback, mm-hmm. which I'm so happy about.
Because people may not be aware that there's multiple orchids. One orchid is not just the fix of all orchids. You just don't buy an orchid.
No. Oh my gosh. If you just, right now, at this time of year, and I'm sure in every state, whatever state or wherever you live, this is the time of year that when all the orchid shows are going on, because this is kind of when a lot of them are blooming, you know, early, this is kind of early spring, late winter.
Right.
And you can go to those orchid shows and see, you know, there's dendrobiums and cattleyas and phalaenopsis and there's so many, Paphiopedilum. So there's so many, many to choose from. And some of them are a little more specialized. I think people are afraid of orchids because a lot of them do need some kind of more specialized care. And, but there's lots of them that don't. So, right. You know, I think everybody should have a couple orchids in their house.
Well, let's transition over to succulents. It's a very popular plant, and I'm sure you get this question for new growers for these fun little plants. What are some tips to help maintain the plants to get the best life out of them?
You know, succulents and cacti too, especially I live in Michigan. So in that, you know, this Midwestern, Northern area, it's really hard to keep them looking the shape that they should be in the winter. They get really etiolated. You know, they lean for the light. They grow, you know, crazy long and reach for the light. So you really, really have to, I'm in the Cactus and Succulent Society, and a lot of them, they put them outside in the summer, first of all. But when they bring them in, they put them under lights, but they put them in a cool place and really don't water them because they don't want that growth to be unnormal, but not the correct growth for that plant. You know how, like I say, like they stretch or they want them to look like they would naturally.
Right.
So it's really all about light. You need, if you don't have the right light in your home, south, west window, then you need to grow them under lights, under some kind of electric lights to keep them really looking their best.
Fantastic. So we are talking with Lisa Eldred Steinkopf, the houseplant guru. So terrariums, and obviously a lot of different houseplants, but terrariums are making a comeback. I know there's a lot of different little figurines, and there's all sorts of stuff on social media about for the terrariums. What are they, and what are some good plants to put in them, and what are some mistakes people might make with them?
Okay, I love terrariums. And I think the biggest mistake that's made, at least with I've done this before, is once you make one, you know, they're sealed. That's what a terrarium is. Otherwise, if it's open, it's a dish garden, right? So if you seal it, for the first quite a long time, I mean, like I would say weeks to months, you have to keep watch of that. And if it gets too, you know, too much condensation, you need to open the lid and let it kind of air out. Because there has to be a happy medium, just enough condensation to keep the plants watered, but not enough to, you know, they just turn to mush and rot. So I think that's the mistake people make, is putting plants in them and then just sealing them up and saying, okay, I'm done and it's going to live. There's a little bit of work and they need to be pruned, and you got to keep like dead leaves out and all that kind of thing so that they don't, you know, mold and just kind of disintegrate. And I think the biggest mistake is that people put succulents in them and cacti. Number one, they don't have enough light. And if they did have enough light in a jar for a succulent cacti, they would bake because they would have to be in so much sun. So you need lower light plants like ferns. And I have Apicias in mine. I have ferns. I have like three different kinds of ferns in one. And Apicia is like a Gesneriad that needs a little more humidity. So it's kind of like humidity, moisture-loving plants and not succulents and cactus, which a lot of people put in them.
Well, I would guess that indoor houseplants are some people treat, like outdoor plants, they give them too much love. They kill them with love.
Kill them with kindness. Yes. Yes. And, the talk I do is you can actually sunburn a plant inside if you move it from a low light window into a high light window. You can sunburn your plants. You can, and when people say overwatering, I just call it watering too much. You're not giving your plant time to dry out a little bit. Most plants don't want to sit in water at all. And then you keep watering them. You got to quit loving them so much.
Let nature do its thing.
Yes. Just let them grow. Watch them. Check them. And, a lot of people, I water them on a schedule. You never water. I don't water on a schedule. When they look dry or they're dry, mm-hmm. I water them. Or, they're starting to get dry. I just don't. Every Monday is not my watering day or anything. It's when they need it.
Well, and your finger is a magnificent tool to stick it in the soil to figure out if it needs water.
That's right. And, you can check on a schedule, but you don't necessarily need to water on a schedule because it may have been a week, especially this year in Michigan, we haven't had any sun. I could probably count on two hands how many sunny days we've had in January, since January. And if there's not a lot of sun, your plants aren't photosynthesizing as much, so they're not using as much water. So you may, have to water them only every other week or something, just depends. Then you would, less often than you normally would.
And how dry your house is, that has probably a key factor too.
Yes. Right. The heater is not, it's not helpful either. I mean, it can dry them out pretty fast and the less humid it is, the more moisture is getting drawn out of your plant. So yeah, in the wintertime, it's just you kind of have to really watch them. Well, do they need more water? Do they need less?
You talked about, you can sunburn a plant indoors, but not all houseplants require sunlight. What are some good options for houseplants with low light needs?
You know what? I was surprised when I've seen plants in offices. My friend had a high light plant in an office without any windows because she had those, fluorescent lights on during the day because it's an office. But, spathiphyllum lilies do well in lower light. Most of your ferns, a ZZ plant, I tell people you could practically grow that in a closet, but don't. but it can take, when you say low light, plants can tolerate low light. Most plants would like a brighter light than, low light.
Right.
But there are some that will tolerate it better. And I know people all stick snake plants in low light, and that drives me crazy because really snake plants want to be in full sun, and they bloom and they'll, they expand and can break a pot. They get so, so excited to be in a pot, and they're just spreading out and growing in bright light. So a snake plant, you can put it in low light, but it's just surviving and probably slowly dying. It's not thriving. But a ZZ plant, unbelievable how low light it can take. Calatheas take lower light. Now Goberchia, they changed the name. Goberchia. They can take pretty low light too. I have some in my bathroom 3 feet from a window. Plus they have the porch is outside and they've got an east morning light. That's it. And they're doing great. So there are plants out there that will take it.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of houseplants, as you know. So we really enjoyed having you in the program. Where can our listeners find out more about you and your houseplant knowledge?
You can find me on my website at thehouseplantguru.com.
Your book is there and available everywhere?
All four of my books are available on my website. I'll sign them and send them to you or, any of your local. I like people just check their local bookstore first, support your local bookstore. And then if you can't find them, then go online. You can find them there too.
Well, Lisa, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered Holly and myself and the knowledge about houseplants that we have obtained now that we didn't know before.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.